2:31. Can you stand with me this morning, please? 2:31. Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. 2:31.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, what Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems
pages to the front. 258. There is a fountain. There is a fountain. 258. Filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. 258.
Church of God.
covers it all. You can remain seated. 246.
out in the darkness. Hear the voices cry today. See the lost as they die without Jesus. They are blind and cannot find their way. Who will go tell the lost of salvation? Who will tell of God's wonderful love? If not you,
slipping out, if you'll pull out your Bible, if it's not out already, and invite you to turn to the second book of the New Testament. Second book of the New Testament, that is the book of Mark. Last chapter, Mark 16, should be fairly easy to find. Go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and find Mark 16, and then you can mark it, all right? And or put a bookmark in there, whatever you want to do, all right? Some of you are like, oh boy, that's where to stop. I didn't get any of those. All right. Mark my words, I will not say any more, all right? All right, I need to stop right there. All right, three people just left. All right, no. All right, Mark 16. Mark 16 is where you are at today. Should be easy to find. This is Vision Sunday. Some of you may have seen that in the calendar in the bulletin and said, what does that mean? They're giving out free glasses today? No, we're not doing that, all right? Vision Sunday, just as an idea, and I'm certainly not the first one to come up with that. Many churches have similar fashion toward the beginning of the year. It's a brand new year. It's a good time to refocus. It's a good time to have a new burden, new vision. What has the Lord laid on the pastor's heart, the church's heart? And so today is Vision Sunday. I'm going to preach a message today. It'll be two parts. It'll be this Sunday and next Sunday. And the following Sunday, the 28th, Charlie will be preaching the morning service. As an opportunity for him to preach a morning service as the intern. He's already done the Sunday school. He'll do another Sunday school next week, part two. And he's getting opportunities to preach. And so he'll be preaching the last Sunday of the month. And then we'll already be in February, and our retreat speaker, Evangelist Caleb Reed, we'll have all the services on the 4th. And that's a great day to invite someone to come. Now, it's not an official friend day, but anytime we have a special speaker like that, an evangelist, that's a great opportunity to invite family, friends, and visitors to come. And so that's coming up here in just a few weeks. All right, Mark 16. We'll look at just one verse to start off. Now, we'll be all going throughout the Bible, so don't just look at that and close it up, all right? This is our beginning verse today. As you know, if you have already received a copy or gotten a copy of our 2024 calendar, then you already knew what our theme was and what the vision was going to be, because at the bottom corner of the calendar, it tells you our theme for the year, plus it has this verse. This is also our first verse of the year. It is the verse for January. It is a very simple verse. We should have 100% of the church saying it. It's 18 little words. You've heard it most of your life. We'd love to see everyone go along with our verses of the month and give it a shot, do the best you can, all right? And so our theme for this message, our theme for the year is "Till All Have Heard." Till all have heard. And so I want to share that today and next Sunday in two parts. Till all have heard. Let's read Mark 16, verse 15. Many of you know it by memory. And the Bible says, "And he is Jesus." We can see that from the chapter. This is after the resurrection. This is likely not the Sunday necessarily that he rose again. If you read the other Gospels, you will see. But it's sometime in the 40 days after he rose from the dead and before he ascended. This is some of his final words before he went to heaven. "And he," Jesus, "said unto them," at the time this would have been the 11 apostles minus Judas, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Very simple, short verse. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, there are those who say, "Yes, I know this is Jesus, and yes, I know who he's talking to, but I wasn't one of them. I'm not an apostle. I wasn't one of the disciples. This was for them." Well, we're going to look at that in the Bible and see if that's really what that means. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Was Christ meaning you 11 men, the 12th in Acts 1 going to be Matthias who replaces Judas? I want you 12 and you 12 only to go across the entire world and make sure that every single person hears the gospel, but it's just for you. No one else, just you. Is that really what the Lord meant? You 11, you 12, I'm telling you only. Or perhaps we'll open it to pastors. Only you are to be the ones I want to go around and proclaim and herald and preach the gospel so that every single person on the face of the globe hears the gospel and has an opportunity to receive salvation. Is that what he meant, or did he mean more than just 11 or 12 people? Well, I hope you know the answer to that. And so we're going to be looking at that today and next week, the theme, "Till all have heard." Till all have heard. I'll be presenting to you the vision, the burden that God has laid upon my heart as the shepherd of this local flock. I'm burdened that God would give all of us, starting with me, a renewed vision, a renewed burden to proclaim the gospel to each person and family in Duryea. We've got to start where we're at, Duryea. And then surrounding, possibly towns, and certainly around the world, whether through us or what would be our missions program and through our missions family. Now, you might be asking, "Hey, that's a worthy cause. Why?" Sure, who would be against that? "Till all have heard." But why? Why, Pastor Boyer? Why, preacher? Why, you might be asking? Well, a couple reasons. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. I won't ask you to look around, but are you confident? Would you say, yes, I believe 100% of everybody in this building today is saved? Could you even say that about this building today, Sunday morning? I know we're not God, and we're not here to just eye people up. If you're not 100% sure that every single person that's sitting here today or in one of our classes is saved, what about Duryea? Town of anywhere between 4,500 and 5,000. You're not all from Duryea. I understand that. That's where the church is, though. But how about just the development you live in? How about just your neighbors to the right and left of you? You might live out in the woods and there are no neighbors, just squirrels. And find the closest mailbox. How about the two people that work closest to you at work? The clock is ticking. Christ's last words are, "Surely I come quickly." Would that not be motivation? Life is but a vapor, the Bible says. Eternity awaits. Hell is real. Salvation is free. Our mission is clear. The love of Christ should constrain us. So the obvious is then, till all have heard. Till all have heard. I want us to read five short passages of Scripture. They're going to be in five books in a row, very easy to find. One we've already read, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. So if you'll go back a book to Matthew 28. I want us to read five short passages of Scripture. One in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, one in John, and one in Acts. And then we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to jump quickly into the thrust of the message. We'll see how far we get today, and then we'll wrap it up next Sunday. The vision that God's laid on my heart for this local church for this year on the calendar until the Lord returns. Matthew 28. Now, all five passages we're going to look at are very familiar for most of you. I'm sure Pastor Cremard has mentioned these countless times, probably hundreds. I have already mentioned these same ones and read these same ones probably a dozen and since I've been here, all right, combining Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday nights. So it's nothing new, but you've got to be careful when you see things that you're acquainted with. You tend to not really pay attention to them. All of the passages we're going to read take place after Christ died on the cross and rose again. Now that's significant. Christ has paid for sin. It is finished, died, was buried, rose again the third day, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read those fresh and anew again. Matthew 28, look at the last three verses of the chapter. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power," that's important, "all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Pay attention to these verses about the alls. "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We're not really going to be breaking these verses apart today. That'll be more on next Sunday. And though these may be very familiar, there's a lot in here that we could spend many Sundays. I mean, just look at the last phrase of verse 20. Sometimes we tend to forget the end of the verse. "Lo, I am with you always." Oh, that's awesome. That's only for believers. You're not saved. God's not with you. He's not with you always. But what about the very last phrase? We tend to sort of be, our mind already moves on. "Even unto the end of the world." That means there's an end to this world and this age. It's not forever. The task is now. The time is short. "I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." But there is an end. Wow. The clock is ticking. We've read Mark 16:15, so we need not turn there today. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. So you're going to flip ahead. Two books, Matthew, Mark, and now Luke. You're going to the very last chapter of each one of these books, basically. Luke 24. All right, so in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Literally, disciple. Make pupils. Make disciples. Make followers of me. Now, what about Mark? We've already read that. Go ye therefore to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we're in Luke 24. Luke 24, again, Christ has risen. What does he say? Look at verses 46 and 47. Luke 24, 46 and 47. All of these Jesus is speaking. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved, or thus it was necessary, for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance. There are many people today who just say a prayer. Believe on the Lord. I don't believe that's biblical. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached or proclaimed in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So you're going to take these five passages together like five puzzle pieces, and when you put them together, you'll get a clear picture of the commission, the mission, and the gospel. All right? So you can take just one out of there, and it looks like, oh, hey, just believe in the Lord, you're good. All right? Well, that's not biblically based either. Even the devils believe, the Bible says, and tremble. But that's not biblical salvation. Here, repentance, a change of mind that results in a change of action, calling upon the Lord, seeing our sin, and believing on him for salvation, should be proclaimed in his name among all nation ethnic groups. Wow. John chapter 20, the next book. John chapter 20. Now, this is not the last chapter. It's the second to last chapter. But if you know the book of John, you'll know why that last chapter is there, a little bit different than the others. John chapter 20, this is also after the resurrection. Look at verse 21. You'll remember every one of these, Jesus is talking, and every one of them it says them. So it's basically the same group, the 11. Sometimes there's some other believers present. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Wow. Remember, Christ had a mission. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, to defeat him, to pave the way. Wow. Even so send I you. I'm commissioning you for something. Wow. Now, basically, you're going to flip one page, probably. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This will be our fifth and final passage. Then we're going to pray. Acts chapter 1. This is also after the resurrection. This is on the very day that Christ is going to ascend back to the throne. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, testimonies of me, testifying unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wow. Did Jesus really mean what he said? Was he asking the disciples, believers, to do the impossible? Does he not know how many people there are? The uttermost part, I mean, that has the idea there of exactly what it means. The farthest reach, the most obscure, hard to get, most difficult place in the face of the earth. The highest mountains, the darkest valleys, the deepest jungles, the most obscure islands. He said, I want the gospel to go to every person on the very face of the earth. Every ethnic group, race, tribe, or tongue is to hear the gospel. We'll define that in a minute. What? Is that possible? There's no way. How could we do that? Couldn't he do that himself? Doesn't he have billions and trillions of angels at his disposal? Isn't the name angel messenger? Doesn't he know that we're not the most faithful, consistent, outstanding children, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature.
Wow.
And the Lord said that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And then he slowly ascended up into the clouds, and he was gone. And the message that the angels gave those men is the message we all need and I need, which is in verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee. Today we could say, ye men and women of Duryea, IBC. Any local church could put their name in here. Any believer could put your own name in here. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now, is it wrong to gaze into heaven? No. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. Look for him. He'll soon return. But today, far too often, I'm found gazing and not going. I'm found wishing, oh, Lord, get us out of this mess, and not doing what he told us to do. Why are you standing gazing? Hey, fellas, is basically the angels are saying, not too harshly, but a rebuke. Why are you standing gazing into heaven? The Lord has told you repeatedly what's going to happen. He's already commissioned you. You already know all this. It's time to get busy. And that is the great book of Acts. The actions of the apostles. You'll know if they did what the Lord told us. All right? And I know you've read that book. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll start looking at the vision till all have heard. Father, I pray now in these few moments this morning and then next Sunday, Lord willing, be able to share a little bit of the vision, the burden you've given me. Lord, it's not a unique vision or burden. Lord, it's something we need to keep at the forefront all the time because we are prone to forget. We're prone to wander, as the hymn says. We're prone, Lord, to get so focused on our lives and our health and our families and our, Lord, that we forget the main mission. Preach and proclaim the gospel to every creature. We forget why you came. Lord, we're so grateful you came and we're thankful that we're saved. But Lord, it's not enough for us to keep it to ourselves. Lord, we must share it till all have heard. Now I pray, Lord, today you'll speak through me. May I handle the word of God properly, Lord, that honors you. And Lord, please, our greatest prayer is that none here today would be left behind should you come in the clouds to take your children home. That none would slip into eternity, Lord, with a heart attack, a stroke, a car accident, a shooting. Not ready to be prepared for heaven. Lord, I pray that they'd see your great love and mercy. I pray they'd see that Calvary does cover it all. And that, Lord, the simplicity of the gospel is found in the cross. And that, Lord, we can stop trying because you did it all. We need to believe in faith and repent. Now, Lord, we love you. I pray that you'd help us to be faithful as a church to the mission commission you have given us until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, till all have heard. Earlier, I used as an illustration our church directory. Church directories are nice. I enjoy looking through them. I love directories. I always loved yearbooks. I love going through those. We have a lot of old directories. We have directories from when I was a kid at our church, directories of different churches we've been in. It's fun to go back and look through. And so, you know, a little bit of, oh, that person has gone home to be with the Lord, no longer with us. Oh, those folks have moved. Oh, those folks, maybe they don't come anymore. Not sure what happened to them. Or, well, that missionary, oh, yeah, that missionary, they've retired off the field. You know, go back, and sometimes it's encouraging, sometimes it's discouraging, sometimes it's sober-minded, but we have a number of names in here. There's 80 to 85 different families or individuals who attend or are members of the church. But I hope that's not all you look for, just a quick number that you don't have in your phone, because there's another very important part in the back, and that's missionaries. We have all of our missionaries or ministries that we support. I hope you look at those. What an easy guide to pray every time you have family devotions or personal devotions or family altar time. Every time you eat dinner, hey, we're going to pray for, we're going to just pray. We're just once a day, once a week, and then we'll all throughout the year we can say as a family, we do. We pray for our missionaries on a regular basis. Now in the back, there are 34 missionaries, missionary families, or what we would call a ministry that has to do with the gospel, that we as a church support financially. Now, some of you are new to the church. Some of you may not know how the church works. One of the good reasons to come to our business meeting once a year is we'll pass out our finances. We don't keep our finances hidden. It's not secret. It's not behind closed doors. You can know exactly where every penny goes here at this church. So what do the men do when they take the money and go? What happens to it? All right? Well, what exactly happened to it? How do we know it's safe? Well, we want you to know where it goes. And so we have a budget. You can see how much money was given and came in offerings and tithes. And you can see how it was given out in salaries and paying for the bills of the utilities and for the bus and for programs and how much is for Bible school and how much is for children's ministry and buying postage and the light bills and all the things that takes a ministry to run. And you can see how much does this church give to the missionaries. We have all of that. We can see our budget. You can see exactly how much is given to these missionaries every month. Their checks go out to them so that they have monthly support to support them to do the work of the ministry on a foreign field so that they don't have to go to Africa and work at the grocery store to pay the bills while they're trying to do the work of a missionary, so that they don't have to be delivering pizza while they're trying to raise their family and plant a church in Ireland. They are in the ministry, and so we have the privilege to support people who understand the mission and that God called them to do that. 34 different missionary ministries we support. Now, some of those are United States. We support Bible college that trains young people to get the gospel out. We support Christian camp that does the same thing. We support Bible printing ministries to get the Bible out. Family ministries that reach the family. Mission board directors who direct the mission board that puts out missionaries. We support some who reach the Jews in New York City. Some who reach the Mormons in Utah. Some who are reaching Native Americans in Florida. We support an evangelist whose very job is to preach the gospel throughout the world. We support some in Christian education and Bible translation. Those are all chosen as worthy causes that have to do with what, though? They have to do with getting the gospel out to every creature. And then we have many who are in foreign countries, even right now as we speak. Cameroon, right now in Cameroon. New Zealand. Israel. Uruguay. South Africa. Do you know their faces? Do you pray for them? I hope you do. I don't pray near enough. India, Puerto Rico, Haiti, Ivory Coast, Liberia, Philippines. This is just the ones that we support that are laboring, but not perfect. Some come off the field. Some have personalities that are rough. Children that maybe aren't raised the same things we have. Financial problems, discouragement. We get to support them. You say, well, why do we do that? Why do we have $40,000 to $45,000 a year go to that? That's not near enough, is it? I mean, that's like a drop in the bucket. That's it? It's more than zero, but say, how far does that go? Praise the Lord. The Lord can take that and multiply it. Now the question is, do you give to missions? Are you a part of that? We're not going to probably, most of us, be able to go to Cameroon unless it's a mission trip for a week or two. Most of us aren't going to get to Papua New Guinea. Most of us aren't going to go on a medical mission trip because we don't have a medical background to be a doctor or dentist. We might even go on a mission trip and go to a country where you're not going to be able to do a whole lot because you can't speak the language. Yeah, you can pass out things and... but you're going to be very limited. And then you're going to realize, boy, this is not easy. How could you do it for every creature? I mean, even if I had the burden and I'm going to Africa, what are you going to get accomplished? You're going to talk? Am I going to understand you? Where are you going to start? They even have a Bible? They're going to be able to read it? I mean, how are you going to survive? Well, you think, wow, how does the Lord expect us to get the gospel to every creature? Or did the Lord, was he just saying empty words that just had an idea Or was there more to that? Till all have heard. But why? Why till all have heard? What is the point? What does that mean? Till all have heard what? That's the key. The gospel. Now for many of you, the gospel, you know the definition of that since you were a kid. For others, though, you hear the gospel and you may say, I don't really know exactly what that means. And so I want to define that in just a little bit. But there's also something else at the very back of this. There's some quotes. I want to read three quotes that are in the bulletin, the directory under the missions. And I want to read three that I added. Isabel Kuhn, longtime missionary woman to China and Thailand. I believe that in each generation, God has called enough men and women to evangelize all the yet unreached tribes of the earth. It is not God who does not call. It is man who will not respond. Henry Martin, all of these missionaries are passed away many years ago. Missionary to India and Persia. The spirit of Christ is a spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become. C.T. Studd, missionary to China, India, Africa. Some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. Nice and pleasant and fun and easy and warm. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. David Livingston, Africa. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? People say, oh, you missionaries sacrificing so much. David Livingston said, what are you talking about? If the King of England gave me a commission, that would be an honor. So if my heavenly king gives me a commission, that's not a sacrifice. That's an honor to be given that commission. Oswald Smith, longtime pastor in Canada. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the world. No one has the right to hear the gospel twice until everyone has had an opportunity to hear it at least once. I want to ask you right now, I want you to be honest. How many times do you believe you have heard the gospel? I'm talking about a clear presentation of the gospel. 5-minute presentation of what the gospel is. You're a sinner. Christ died for you. I mean, just you've heard the gospel to the point where you may not understand, but you've heard it. How many times do you believe you personally have heard the gospel? Preached? Read, watched, probably for many hundreds, if not even thousands. And yet you think of this right now, wow, there are people walking this planet who've never heard the name Jesus. No clue who that is. Never even held a Bible or even know what it is. I've never heard anybody even say to them, John 3:16. Don't even know that there's a God who loves them and made them and created them. Wow. And yet what was Christ? What is His mission? Go ye into all the world after He rose from the dead and preach the gospel to every creature. Now notice, it doesn't say we're to save everybody. Never in the Bible does it say the believer is to save, because we cannot do that. None of us can save anybody. We are incapable of saving or delivering anybody from their sins or from hell. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And He did it on the cross. And so what He has told us to do for those who are His children is, I want you, as representatives of Me, as ambassadors of Christ, who I've given the ministry of reconciliation to, I want you to go into every corner of the globe. To every boy, every girl, every mom, every dad, every grandpa, every language, every skin color. And proclaim and herald and blow the trumpet so that they hear the gospel. You are not responsible for if they reject it. But you are very responsible for not sharing it. Wow. Till all have heard. But then we have to answer that question, and this is probably as far as we'll get today. Well, Pastor Boyer, what is the gospel? Isn't it enough just to let people know? I mean, my neighbors know we're Christians. Or, you know, the dentist, I mean, they know we go to church. I mean, we've invited them to, you know, a cantata. And we you know, on my social media, I mean, we put stuff on there about God. and verses now and then. And they know we don't do a lot of the stuff that they do. I mean, is that not enough? Well, that's certainly wonderful. We're to be representatives of Christ, but does that answer the commission? Is that the gospel? Is it enough to just let people know, I believe in God, I believe the Bible, I go to church, I believe in Jesus, I don't drink, don't do this, blah, 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 blah. Is that not enough? Shouldn't they get from that? Is that giving the gospel, though? Well, not really. That's a good thing, but we need to make sure we're doing what He gave us to do. And so let's answer that question here today, this morning, before we finish. Well, what is the gospel? If the Lord said, go ye into all the world... All the world means that you don't need to know Greek, Hebrew, or anything. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to get out East Ord or anything. Go ye into all the world means exactly what it says. That just slams to me, if you read the Bible, Calvinism in any way. That there are people who are elected to salvation in heaven, and there are those who are elected not to. That God has preordained and chosen certain people. I mean, that just flies in the face of the gospel. Flies in the face of the Bible. Flies in the face of what Christ did on the cross. Flies in the face of the commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To the uttermost part of the earth. That repentance and remission of sins should be broadcast to every single person so that all have the opportunity to receive or reject the free gift of salvation. So what is the gospel? Well, gospel means good news. The very form of that word in our English comes from more of the Latin. It means good news. It literally means good tidings. Like we sing some of our Christmas songs, we don't always know what that means. Good tidings. Good tidings, good news, a good message. That's what the gospel is. Today, we get that from the word, there's young people that have been in this church. Evangeline. That name means bearer of good news. The name Evangeline is the same as the word evangelist. Evangelist, Shane Colmeyer. Evangelist, Caleb Reed. We support evangelist, Mike Pelletier. Well, guess what an evangelist is? It is an office that God designed to get the gospel out. Someone who is called full-time to be the bearer of good news. Does that mean, hey, Shane doesn't always pray, but their primary role is to preach the gospel in local churches and around the world. I believe Mike Pelletier's in Liberia right now, preaching the gospel as an evangelist, a bearer of good news. That's what his task in his ministry is, all right? Doesn't mean he can't preach messages to help the church and to strengthen the church and to strengthen believers. Absolutely, that's part of it. But number one, he is an evangelist, evangeline. Bearer of good tidings and good news. You say, well, wait a minute. What's the good news? All right. For that, we must go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You'll keep turning to your right there in your Bible. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. You're going to go three books to your right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this is very important. Just because people say the word gospel doesn't mean everybody understands it or that what you're proclaiming is the gospel. There are many false gospels today. The devil is not going to leave that untouched. Oh, the gospel. There's many false counterfeit gospels out there today. So we must make sure that what we're doing as a church and as an individual matches the Bible. We are proclaiming the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 present the gospel in a nutshell. Well, what is the gospel? Here's the good news. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3. For I delivered. Remember, that's a word we've looked at this a lot if you've been with us on Sunday nights. I delivered unto you. It was given to me from God. I was asked to be entrusted to it and to guard it and protect it. It's part of the body of faith. The gospel, and now I, as an apostle, am delivering it to you, the church. Saved. Believers, I'm delivering it unto you. I'm entrusting it to you. God has asked us to protect and keep the gospel safe, and it needs to be exactly what it says in the Bible. Not to depart from it, not to dilute it, not to take anything away from it or to add to it. I'm giving it and entrusting it to you. It's keeping the faith. It's contending for the faith. It's one of the first things that will be distorted and diminished is the gospel. And I delivered it unto you, verse 3, first of all, of most importance, that which also I received. Now here's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. What's the good news, preacher? The gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything that can be better news than that? Without that, there is no good news. The best news you're going to have is the birth of a child, a marriage, a bonus, a health report. Those are all good news, and we get excited about that. Our team won the championship. Woohoo! I got a raise. I got accepted. That's the greatest news. That's all it's going to get. There's nothing going to get better than that if you're not a believer. But if you're a believer and you understand the gospel, wow, I don't have to die in my sins. Death does not, I don't need to fear death. The grave does not end everything. Eternity, I don't have to be afraid of. I can have peace now. I can know God personally. I can have a home in heaven. Now that is the good news. That is the gospel. That is what the Lord said. I want that to go to every person. Go into all the world and preach. Now, sometimes we read this, and what happens is we're familiar with the word preach. Preach, that's what you're doing, preacher. You're preaching. I can't do that. I'm a woman. I can't do that. I'm not called to be a pastor. No. That word preach means proclaim and to herald as a herald. Hey, if the king gives me as the royal herald trumpeter and says, go into the city villa, blow the trumpet, blah, 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 many times, and then when everybody gathers around, say, hey, what's that guy doing? Hear ye. I'm supposed to give exactly what the king told me to say. I'm going to read it word for word. Here's the message from the king. Loud in it. Now, if you want to laugh at it, make fun, leave, that's up to you. That's not my job. My job is to serve the king. And the king said to herald and proclaim the message that he wants everybody to hear. And so I'm either going to obey that or disobey it. So when he says go into all the world and preach, it means to proclaim, to herald, to make known to every person the good news. That has to be more than just letting people know I'm saved, I believe in God. It's the gospel. That includes sin and salvation, the cross, the shedding of blood, the gospel. The Romans wrote, they're getting in the gospel. The God that Jesus saves. That Christ died for our sins. That Christ is risen. That God loves us and we can have a personal relationship with him through Christ. That our sins can be forgiven. That we need not fear death and hell. That salvation is free and you have to stop trying to earn it. That's the gospel. That's what our missionaries are doing. South Africa. Africa. Different places around the world. That's what our ministry is here. That's what this church should be and needs to be doing. That's what I need to be doing. That all may hear, till all have heard. Well, we'll look at next week a little bit more in depth. Because I believe the vast majority of believers believe that and want that and desire that. And probably their heartbeat in church would be, oh God, I got to do better. I think if you're a child of God, that would be the normal response. Oh God, forgive me. I've got to. You're right, Lord. I've got to. But it's what comes between the message and sometimes the stirring up and the actual doing it. That's the challenge for all of us. It's too cold. It's too windy. I'm too busy. I can't do what I used to do. Family and bills. And there's always going to be things. I understand that. So this morning and next week, I'm presenting to you what I believe our vision and what I would desire to be our passion as a local church should do. I believe every believer is to obey the commission. Every believer, I believe, is commissioned. But I believe there's a double duty as a local church. As a light in perhaps this community or if there's other good churches, that we are lighthouses to rescue the perishing. We are lighthouses to be the bearers of the gospel in the communities God has put us in, much less our own personal response. I believe personally we're going to stand before God personally, one-on-one. And then I believe as a church, certainly as a pastor of a church, as a shepherd, I'm going to be on that one, far weightier than you. I've got to lead by example. So my question as I conclude this morning is, till all have heard, what part can you play in that? Or what part will you play in that? Well, what part have you been playing in that? Will you be part of reaching Duryea, your neighborhood, for Christ? Will you be a part in advancing His kingdom? His kingdom? While Satan is busy trying to advance His kingdom? Here is my vision in a nutshell, and I'll break this down more next week. Our goal as a church, and I've shared this before, so this shouldn't be new, is for 2024, our goal and vision for this church is that we would personally knock on the door of every home in Duryea and attempt, if at all possible, to give a gospel presentation, and at the same time hand every person a gospel of John and Romans that we'll be getting printed up by Bearing Precious Seed. Can personally give them that shows them how they can know Christ. It's 4,500 to 5,000 people here in Duryea. We would need the church body to be part of that and have a desire to come out once a month, whatever it needs to be, certain times, your little area, your little part where you live, come on out a certain street. Not that difficult compared to many places. I would love if God laid upon individuals' hearts as you pray about it, you can begin praying today, that once a month we have a ministry in Cross and Tower, where Cindy Reed and James live, once a month. Now, some of these the church has done in the past, and for various reasons and different things, maybe no longer. It's nothing against what we did do or didn't do. No reason right there. That's in Duryea. It's right there. There's people all over there. Have a ministry once a month. And go in there and do a little service, a little devotional, whatever. Anybody could do that. Have some music. Get a team together, five or six people that say that's a burden. 12 times a year we're going to go in there, and we're going to reach those folks. Love to have someone interested, or a couple, or a little team of 5 to 8, whatever. We try to get back into what was Old Forge Manor, now Serenity Care. Church used to be in there, I think, before COVID, right up the street. Do that once a month, once a month, once a month. Love to have some people, perhaps some military men, be able to get in the VFW and the American Legion right here beside us. Throw a rock and hit both of them. An unreached little mission field of men and women that need to hear the gospel. There could be someone here that said, I can do that. I'll make the contacts. I'll make the doors. I'll get through the red tape and see if we can, me and two or three people can get in here, whatever we can do. Love for us to get a bus route going a little bit with the bus and van we have. And there's plenty of children around. Just got to get them. Knock on some doors, some housing developments right around here and say, hey, we can get 15 in here. We'll start doing that. You know, if I need to become a member, if I need to make sure I'm on the insurance, I need to make sure my driving record, if I need to make sure, we'll go out, whatever, once a month, once a week, bring in boys and girls for church, bring them on Wednesday night for Kids for Truth. And I'm not talking about, you just get excited about it. I mean, it's yours. It's your ministry. It's yours. It's God put it on your heart. You're going to take it and run it. You're going to run it. You're going to administrate it. You're going to be faithful. You're going to get a team. You're committing to that. All right. Why? Because to all have heard. We're going to do all we can until the Lord returns to reach. Folks, that's just the beginning. There's many others, but no need to worry about all the others. How about right here in Duryea? I think there's plenty right here for us. Right here in Duryea. Hey, God said start in Jerusalem, so we're going to start right here in Duryea. Do all that we can to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Not enough just to have a church. Not enough just to have a website. Not enough just to have a sign. Those are all good, and those are all good avenues we want to use. We want to do more than that. We want to make sure that folks can hear the gospel. Now, some of that means some of us need to become students of the Bible. I can't do that. I can't talk. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what the gospel is. I never took a soul winning class. I don't know how to answer objections. I'm going to get scared. Hey, are you willing to learn is the question. You think these guys knew everything? Have you not read about them? All right. I mean, the Bible's given to us for an example. All right. You think the Lord doesn't know the objections? Fear, don't know what to say, can't do it, I'm too busy, time, blah, blah. There's always going to be something. And so the question is, will we be willing to be part of it? Lord, Lord, till all have heard, absolutely go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray this morning. Father, I presented what you have burdened my heart about. Lord, now this church has a long history of missions, and praise the Lord for that. Lord, this church has a long history of getting the gospel out, whether through revivals, special services, evangelistic things, and that's great. Lord, there have been many that are here today that have been saved because of outreach, because of one-on-one witness. Lord, and we praise the Lord for that, but Lord, we can't live what we used to do. Lord, we've got to stay advancing the kingdom right now, 2024, with the people that are part of this church. Lord, you've placed us here in Duryea for a reason. We've been here for over 125 years. Lord, we're not just sitting back counting our years and glad that we're here while other churches maybe have closed. We're not just happy to have a little mark on Main Street and Stevenson and Lincoln. Lord, we're not just happy to have good offerings and regular members. Lord, that's not enough. You didn't commission us to do that necessarily. The commission of the church, Lord, is to evangelize the world and give the gospel, and at the same time, to be a place for God's people to assemble together to be a safe haven from the world, to come and worship and fellowship and encourage and comfort, to use our gifts to build the body of Christ so that we would have an increased vision for the lost, the next generation, to keep and contend for the faith so that we do not let that slip by. Now, Lord, you have given us a commission. You have made us ambassadors. We have the Bible, the sword. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we have the local church. That's all that we need. Now, Lord, may you and I, may I, as the pastor, the shepherd, be the leader, the example of this, Lord. May I have an increased vision and passion for getting the gospel out to people here in Duryea, my own neighbors, Lord. Now, Lord, we know there's going to be many things to crowd that out. Lord, life is busy. There's going to be trials and tribulations. Lord, the devil's going to come and try to snatch the seed away. There's going to be the cares of this world. There's going to be the fear of man. What will people say? What will people think? There's always going to be something, Lord, to crowd out advancing the kingdom. So, Lord, may we be aware. May we be alert. But may we be determined in 2024, as long as we have breath and until you come, till all have heard the simple gospel message that Jesus saves. Now, Lord, if there's any in our midst today who've never been born again, oh, God, I pray they'd see the need of trusting you as Savior to have their entire life and future, Lord, completely transformed by faith in Christ. And, Lord, I pray if there's some folks searching today, I pray they'd see my wife and I at the back. I pray we could get them some help shown from the Bible how they can be saved. Lord, we want to thank you for the gospel. We want to thank you for the cross. We want to thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the free gift of salvation to everyone who receives it, Lord, from a pure heart and a heart of repentance. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing as we leave today. Lord, bring us back tonight eagerly, Lord, to hear the word of God preached, to be part of this local assembly, Lord, to be encouraged and stirred for the mission you've given us. We ask you and thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your good attention this morning. We'll finish that up next Sunday morning. Lord willing, I may not be here. Someone else will finish it. You may not be here, or the Lord could return this week and we'll be in heaven for those who are saved before him.